Aloha, everybody. I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Bake.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the show Lock and Key.
Today we're covering the sixth episode of season three, Freebird.
Time is a bird now.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
The end.
That's a wrap. There was a little bit of a lost opportunity there, but I don't know, maybe the rights or something to that song. Can't just... That's got to be expensive, right?
Maybe Skynyrd's expensive. Yeah, well, I don't know.
I got a feeling maybe.
I was at a restaurant fairly recently, and some band was playing, and this guy, I thought kind of jokingly, just went, Freebird! And then the next song they played it, and I was like, yes.
Most bands just ignore that.
Yeah, I'd say most people just ignore Freebird. No Freebird. No Freebird.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it is. Or like in Wayne's World, no stairway, denied. Anyway, that went off on a little bit of a tangent. Sorry.
It says in the notes, tangent here. So
does it? Oh, I've been caught. Okay. That was my evil plan all along. Okay. So general thoughts about this week's episode. Super short. I was talking last week about how short that episode was. This one I think was even shorter.
Yeah, it was like a few minutes shorter. And I think next week's like a minute shorter than this one was. Like,
wow. I'm kind of surprised that they're so short. I don't know. I feel like with it being the last season, wouldn't they want a little bit more of the time?
It feels like they're in the writer's room and they're like, it's really nice out. Can we just wrap this up? Why don't we just have Bodhi control birds? But we never said they could. Don't worry about it. Come on, look. Let's go for a walk.
Just do it.
Go and enjoy the sunshine and smell the roses. And
they're like, what? But wait, he can possess a bird and use the animal key to turn back into himself. And they're like, just smoke this and chill out, dude. Don't worry about it.
Maybe that's what they needed more of, to come up with some more creative ideas or something.
They had too much.
Flesh this out. They had too much or not enough.
You gotta ride that line.
Yeah, that is true.
Balance. Oh gosh. Well, I feel like we're kind of getting the thoughts a little bit about those shows. Well, Jason, why don't you start and tell us your general thoughts about the episode.
I think it's getting kind of weak. I think I was impacted by Paik last week, and now I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Which is funny because I like this episode a lot better than I did last week.
I didn't hate it, but it does feel like a little kid is making up the story. What if you do this? Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. Shut up. And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, there's always things to like about any Lock and Key episode for me, and this episode is not an exception, but there's all these questions that always come up, and why does that really work that way? Or why did they do this? Why don't they do that? Or what are they thinking? You know, and I don't know if it's more and more, it's a cumulative effect or what, but it's starting to get to me a little bit, and I'm kind of like, okay, there's two more episodes. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Sorry. I don't mean to bring anybody down. I did enjoy parts of it for sure. I enjoyed the whole thing. I mean, it's an enjoyable show, even when it doesn't make sense. It's magic. So, you know,
we'll get to, I've got some comic talk stuff this time. You mentioned the animal key and bird and stuff. Like, I mean,
okay,
take that up with Joe Hill.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. But okay. Well, so why don't we just address the little birdie in the room, which is, you know, before the way we saw the animal key work was you open the little doggy door, right? And then when you go through it, you turn into your spirit animal, basically. And then when you go back the other way, you turn back into yourself. So now they decided, when Bodhi's a ghost possessing a bird, if he goes back through that door, he will turn into Bodhi. And maybe Joe Hill did that in the comics, but my question is, how did they know that was going to work? I mean, okay, maybe they just tried it before. I don't know. But if you did try that, then when you have an extra body laying around, like, because Bodhi conveniently doesn't have a body here, so he made a new one out of a bird. And then that made me think, could you just go and possess a bunch of birds and have just a bunch of Bodhi bodies laying around?
Bodhi bodies.
So, I don't know.
That's a great Halloween prank. Just a bunch, this pile of dead Bodhis. Oh, no.
Where does the bird soul go?
Now there's just ghost birds flying around out there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's
maybe the bird soul could possess one of the Bodhi bodies and just start tweeting.
It's just this Bodhi who's just shoving his face into piles of seed.
Running into glass and stuff. Pecking people.
Running with cats. I don't know. Well, so are we just jumping into our points then? That sounds like a point.
We've run off the rails and it's like, what? 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll just jump into it. So, Paik, do you have thoughts about that? Let's just go ahead and jump into our points then. Jason, is that? Do you want to start that off as like your first point?
Sure.
And okay, Paik, do you have anything to add to that, or do you have a separate point that you want to?
My first point honestly was the Bodhi Bodhi plan. So.
Oh, good.
I'll go with it. We'll talk about it. Okay. Again, comic talk stuff will be a little bit later, and I've got some stuff for that. But this plan that comes along. Of course, it's Rufus, Kinsey, and Tyler are sitting outside at Ellie's house on the porch, just trying to come up with ideas of, you know, how do we save Bodhi? How do we get Bodhi back? And then Tyler's being honestly a realist. You know, Kinsey's kind of upset with it, but I was like, I mean, yeah, they have no leverage. We have no magic. We have no strength. We have no, what are we going to do? But Rufus channels some Squadron Strange, comes up with a diversion tactic idea. And then that evolves into a pretty decent idea, I guess, you know, luring Bolton outside the ghost door for Bodhi to take his body, which is a temporary solution, but anything to actually be able to communicate with Bodhi is going to be better than nothing. For the time being, of course, then Bodhi's like, that guy, gross. I got a better idea. I'd rather be a bird than that guy. I noticed Tyler talking with Kinsey, his very sarcastic, and she's like, but if I never see him again, and the way he goes, and then he'll definitely spend ghost eternity hating you. And I was like, man, that line, is like sarcastic as it was, came across really harsh and less jokey than I think it was intended. Oh, and I'm glad that Kinsey knows him well enough to where she still smiled about it and was like, she's like, man, if that was like anybody else in a different relationship, that could have been really bad timing for a poor joke. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I think everybody knows Bodhi wouldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be, and wouldn't I think be it, sitting there going, oh, the last thing she said to me, I don't like her now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they follow through with this plan. They're leading Bolton to the house. I guess Bolton just doesn't hear Kinsey talking to Bodhi right in front of him. there are little things that I will point out in this episode.
That was a cute moment, though. Are you talking about when she saw the bird, him possess the bird?
No, before
when they were walking home.
The fountain is freezing over, and she's she realizes Bodhi's watching them as they're walking up, and she's just like, Bodhi, we've got a plan to get you a new body.
She's like, put her hand up next to her. Right.
She's like, this guy right back here.
Right.
Ixnay on the easing fray.
Right. But it is funny that Bodhi then just kind of to himself is like, that guy? No. He's like, going to be a bird. Which then I was, it's kind of messed up because he's like controlling a bird to fly through the ghost door and like, become a little ghost sparrow on the other side for eternity, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the plan is to get Bolton to go through the door. So they tell him this lie that the last key that's needed is hidden in the ghost plane, which I was like, I like that idea, but I don't think they can actually do that because it's never been established. They can't take physical items
but he doesn't
with
know
them. But I was just like, could they have actually done something like that? Like, is that a good plan to think about? And then I was like, I don't think they can take physical items except clothing. But that's something just to overlook, or else we'd have a bunch of naked ghosts floating around and it would get awkward.
Yeah.
And so Bodhi's got his Bodhi's better bird idea. Except that idea hinges on them having to get the animal key from Gideon. I was like, that's super risky.
Well, not only that, but he didn't even know.
And they don't even know for sure it's going to work. Bodhi, yeah.
I mean, Sam Lesser's coaching Bodhi on how to control the birds before they ever knew that Tyler and Kinsey were coming. So what was his plan? I'll attack Gideon with these birds, and then what? One of the birds is going to grab the animal key? No.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there was really a plan in place. It was kind of like, you know, Bodhi talked to Sam, like, how did you help us? And then he's just like, well, I led Kinsey to the angel key by using the birds. And he's like, what the hell do you mean using the birds? So then it just kind of became,
so he's like,
show me what that means.
I'm going to control these birds in case it comes in handy. And then it just happened to come in handy.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking that, like, with Sam, I'm like, how long did it take Sam to figure that out? Like, was he just so bored in the ghost world? He's like, fuck it, I'm gonna see if I can control birds. But that's the idea that comes to
my point is, like, Bodhi decides to do that, but why? What was the end point in that plan? Because we don't know. It just so happened that it came in handy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of things. It's like one thing leads to another. How we got there? Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with Kinsey, and I mean they decide to try to get the ghost key and so that they can use it on Bolton. I guess at that point Bolton had told them that there's one more key left, so we didn't see it, but maybe they came up with the idea to tell him. Yeah, I guess that one makes a little more sense.
Of course, I don't know what really their plan was for getting the ghost.
They were just going to wing
any
it,
keys
I guess.
Off of Gideon, except that Bodhi came in with the birds, which also this sparrow swarm that helps Tyler get the keys off of Gideon. And then it's so frustrating to me. I was like, and then they're like picking up different keys and then putting them back down and then taking the animal key. It's like, okay, you grab the one you're looking for. Why didn't you grab all of them? Why did you leave all of the other ones still laying on the floor?
I mean,
what are you doing?
All
that's
of
a
them.
Huge complaint about that. I mean, like, you couldn't just grab as many as possible.
I mean, they're like, okay. You know, as far as they knew, Gideon had all the keys until Bolton got there. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if they're like, huh, I wonder why he hasn't taken over the world yet. Oh, well, let me draw this meticulously crafted architectural rendering of our floor plan. It's like, we need to hurry up, Tyler. Wait, I'm working on this drawing. It's going to help a lot. And then they decide their big plan is to go and save Bodhi. Well, it's their little brother, but there's also the sort of factor that this demon's about to destroy the whole world. And their plan is to have Bodhi possess the body of Bolton. And then what? Run away and then die?
Right.
Screw the world. Yes, we got to save Bodhi.
Just so he can be alive for the and
our tween
the
brother is now a revolutionary British soldier. It happens sometimes. Yeah. People, he's weird.
For the last 30 seconds of existence of our reality.
Right.
We can hug him goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. What are they saving him from? Like, exactly. Like, you know, what are they bringing
they
him back
even,
for? If
they didn't talk about that. Like, oh, he said he's gonna erase our reality or whatever, you know, merge our worlds. They're like,
better bring Bodhi back to suffer through that.
Yeah,
he almost sounds better off in that regard. But.
but somehow it works. Yeah, because it's like, yay, Bodhi, you're back. So let's completely forget about the vulnerable Ellie in the other room. Let's forget she's there. Luckily, Rufus, for once in his life, like, defied orders, it seems, and showed up to save her anyway. but yeah, so the plan in general, I liked it, but it's easy to prick a bunch of little holes.
Say, there's
like, what is
a lot of little holes in there? Like, everything had to go right, and I feel like they still didn't have their plan all the way.
Yeah, like, not only did what they planned out have to go right, but it wasn't even clear how they could have possibly planned this thing that had parts that they wouldn't even know about.
Right.
You know,
now the whole
on both sides
using, you know, I'll go a little more into detail on it later, but I mean, using the animal key to have Bodhi's possessing a bird and then turning back into himself. It's ripped straight from the comics. They did it the same way after they lost his body in the comics.
Did they already know they could do it though before that?
I don't know. I don't know if they had established that or not.
I mean, I guess the way to explain.
So it made me feel better about that because I was like, oh, they're doing the exact same way they got Bodhi's body back in the comics.
I would just
want to
know that they had tried that before. Because otherwise, I think it's bad writing to presume that it would work that way and hinge your whole plan on it. Because you don't even know if it works that way. That's not how you've ever used it before. And you're hinging your whole plan on it. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Use the identity key. Get him into Bolton. Use the identity key. You know that works.
Oh, yeah, that would also very much work. Yeah.
And also, like, so Bodhi used to be a sparrow. Now is he like... Is he still 11 or is he however old the sparrow was? Does he still have the same perceptions of things? I mean, I guess it's like his spirit. So it infused his new body with everything that his old body was, magic, blah, blah, blah.
I
guess so.
Don't know. Those are all very valid questions.
I'd say ask Carlton Cuse, but you'll just wind up with 20 more questions after asking him that. So
yeah,
I don't.
An enigma wrapped in a mystery is what we'd end up with. Well, I mean, if we're airing our grievances, then I mean, I don't have a whole lot to add. I mean, that was definitely one of my points too, is how the heck does the animal key work that way? I feel like I understood what they were maybe trying to do, but it still didn't make any sense. You know, when they, what was it, the premiere episode when Kinsey and Bodhi were using the animal key, Bodhi said he didn't get to choose, you know, what he was. He's like, oh, I was a bird, and that wasn't quite what he expected or what he wanted, but it sounds like they didn't get a choice. But, he just transformed because of the key. I just don't understand how he took the bird form coming through the door back into like his own body. Does it somehow use the form of his spirit to turn back into Bodhi? Cause it just, I don't know, it just did not make any sense to me. And then what about that bird? Like, he's just a ghost now by himself, and he's out there floating around in the ghost plane.
Why are none of my other bird friends acknowledging me?
Sparrows are social birds. So this bird is just living alone now out in the ghost plane, and I think that sucks.
That's why Bodhi should just do that with a few more sparrows and then just, you know, bury the Bodhi bodies or whatever. So there'll be some more ghost sparrows, and they can keep each other company.
I'm not sure if that's the ideal solution, but I feel bad for the bird. I mean,
it's better than any plan that was in this episode. Maybe.
I won't argue that, but I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. And like you were just saying, Jason, how did they even know that that was going to work? That wasn't something that was tested. They've used it, but not when they didn't have a like their own body. It's like the animal door served as like a transfiguration tool. Like they they transfigure. I'm using Harry Potter terms here because that's what I'm equating it to in a way. You know, they're transfiguring into a different, like they're still them, but they're transfiguring into an animal and whatever animal that is. But when they're going through the door, they're transfiguring back into their human form. Well, how does that bird get into transform into Bodhi's form? It just,
like, what if they just left that door open and a random bird flew in the opposite direction? What does that turn into? Some random human being? Like, oh god, who are you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
A bird could turn into an elephant or something, and whatever its spirit animal is. Maybe do animals have spirit animals? I don't know. That's a deep question. I think the only way they could have known it worked that way, just to think it out, is if they were playing around and, hey, what would happen if I possessed a bird as a ghost and then flew it through the animal key door? And then he did that. And so then there would be a ghost bird and a Bodhi body inert and Bodhi in his other bird body, you know, body that had been transformed from the bird. And then, so then to get everything back to the way it was, he'd have to go back through. I mean, he could just have the bird. Maybe the bird could possess his other body and then go through the animal door the other way. I don't know.
That's a lot of moving parts.
I feel like I need a whole diagram for what you just said.
The tricky part is getting the bird to do the thing that you want, like repossess his body or whatever.
Which I guess if you're a ghost, you can do that.
That's right. That's so. Go possess your body back. Come on.
I don't know. A little bit of dissatisfaction there with at least that part of the whole plan, you know, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I know it's magic and it's a mystical world and magic keys and things, but I had a really hard time with that. And I was really pissed off about the bird.
I
was sacrificed
there. As much as I love Lost, there were times where I was like, wow, what that character did just didn't make sense. And I feel like if you have those, I don't know. I always had this just daydream of them in the writer's room at Lost going, I'm not sure how this makes sense. And they're like, you're stifling our creativity. Just go with it. Okay. and on the other hand, the Breaking Bad writer's room, I'm not sure this makes sense. Oh, well, we're going to fucking figure it out then and make it make sense. And they do. And that's why I love those shows so much. But anyway, if you're the type of, and it could be absolutely nothing like I just said, but if it is like that, where you're in the writer's room where they're like, hey, don't push back too much because that stifles creativity and we just need to move this thing along. And then you also have these magic keys that could really, make you just flub a lot of things like that, or yada yada yada, a lot of things, you know, because you can just say, hey, it's magic.
And I mean, I love all things magic and mystical, like, you know, House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, you know, all these things, and there are some things you can kind of be like, well, okay, I can kind of let that go, but this has just went a little too far for me. I can't it's hard for me to just let that go and just write it off.
Yeah, because the show has, I mean, like any of these things, you know, a lot of times a show has one thing that's not real, like Walking Dead, the zombies, but they still have rules. You know, they're not smart, they're slow, you have to shoot them in the head. And so then if there's just one zombie that suddenly pulls off his head and rolls it like a bowling ball and then it comes back and right on his head again, then you're going to be like, I don't think that's right.
This is new.
This is not Nightmare Before Christmas.
I don't know. You might have just pitched that as an idea to the writers of Fear, and they're going to use it next season.
Yep, yep. We know who to blame for that. Oh, gosh. Okay, Jason, it's back to you.
I did have a longer thing about plans. I feel like we've talked through most of it, but one other little thing is Rufus suggested using the time shift key, and Kinsey says, or Tyler goes, no, it doesn't work like that. And I'm like, you don't know how it works. It's like they've just gotten into the habit. Anytime anyone brings up the time shift key to do something, no, you just say, no, it doesn't work.
That's
like
just
that.
What you say, no matter what it is. It doesn't work like that.
You just get your magical memory back. You don't know shit right
now. Shut up, dude. And then Kinsey's like, it's too unpredictable and it could just make things worse. And instead she wants to get the ghost key back and say, Bodhi. But I'm like, you're thinking too small. The world could end here. If the time key could let them change the past, which it seems like it can't, but just for the sake of discussion, then they should probably try to go back and change something simple that would have big effects. I was thinking like tell younger Ellie not to try to bring Lucas back and even like take the echo key away from her and hide it somewhere or something. That might solve a lot of problems, but I guess it doesn't work that way. So anyway, but the thing that so I don't want to have that be my point. That's no fair because we already talked about it. So mine's going to be keys and how they work. And there's some confusing things about the keys. Well, I guess we already talked a lot about that too. What I was thinking, if Bodhi had done what Kinsey and Tyler wanted and taken over Bolton's body and then used the identity key to look like himself again, then would he feel like himself, like he'd be a ghost possessing a body of a 150-year-old English soldier brought back to life as a magical and vulnerable being and then morphed to look like a boy. So would he still be a boy or would he be this weird freak, you know? I mean, that's when you think about, because there's so many keys, and I had a similar thing about Dodge last time, or maybe the episode before that. It's like, wow, they've been through so many transformations. It's hard to keep track sometimes. But we actually have talked through a lot of this too. But the last thing is, you guys were right. Gideon needed all the keys. That's what you were saying, Paik. And that moment where he's just trying real hard. Oh, let me pull my dimension through. And he can't get it to come through. And it's like invasion dysfunction or something. So that did seem to suggest that they just happened to have found all but one of the keys, it turns out. And so I like that scene where he was holding out his hands with all the keys except for one, because the mm-hmm. keys are so cool, and just to freeze it and look.
It was a cool view. Visual, yeah. I liked it. Yeah.
Demon dimension in the background. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it would be fun to just quickly go through all the keys since we have them all here, except for this one mystery key.
Did you get Bodhi's diary?
Yeah, pretty much. So we have the alpha key that separates demon from host. By the way, that was the key they should have picked up, if any.
No from kidding.
When all the keys fell down.
Right.
Pick that one up, get Bolton, try to get Gideon. They have the angel key that lets you fly with the wings. Animal key changes you into your spirit animal. And apparently also, if you're a ghost possessing an animal, you can turn back into yourself. Anywhere key lets you travel anywhere. Chain key, where you can throw out this chain and grab people. Demon key causes a victim to be possessed by a demon. Do they have that one too in there somewhere? Because
I would guess so.
It kind of,
I mean, I think he has to have all of them, so I would assume I guess so.
It surprised me a little bit that he, you know, we'll talk about the whole thing about when Ellie said, oh, by the way, there's a key in Gordy's head, and Gideon knew, oh, I'm gonna grab the head key then, because he didn't seem to care what individual powers they had, and I presumed even know, but apparently he knew he needed that key for that.
He'd been studying.
Well, he read Bodhi's
journal there.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He was reading that and then threw it in the fire. Yeah.
Good point. But then he should know about the demon key, and seems like he'd want to be using that, you know, just get a couple demons to help him out. I don't know. Echo key summons an echo of a dead person into the well house. Ghost key turns the user into a ghost. Harlequin key unlocks the Harlequin chest. Head key lets the user travel into someone's mind. Hercules key turns you super strong with your belt. Identity key changes your appearance. I wonder if you could use all these at once. That'd be crazy. Matchstick key, you'd be flying up in the air looking like somebody else. Can you use the angel key if you're already a bird? I don't know. Matchstick key starts a fire. Memory key allows adults to remember magic. Mending key unlocks the mending cabinet, and then you can fix things that you put in there. Mirror key opens a dimension inside the mirror. You can trap people. Music box key, used with the music box to control people. Omega key opens the black door. Plant key controls plants. Shadow key, used with the crown of shadows to control shadows. Shadow creatures or whatever. Small world key is used with the key house dollhouse to reach in and manipulate things. Snow globe key transports the key house into this snow globe, and the time shift key, which, like, we don't know how it works, but lets you visit other time periods.
Whatever you think, it's not how it works.
Yeah. I'll say something, it's wrong.
Whatever you think, Gideon.
So that's 23 keys plus one inside Gordy's head.
I don't remember them getting back, and maybe it just happened off screen, but I don't remember them getting back the dollhouse key. Did that happen? Or did I just forget when you were just talking about that? I was like, oh yeah, the dollhouse key.
Where was it? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think they had to. It would have been last season, right? Where Jamie had it, and I think she pocketed it and gave it back to Bodhi at some point. Maybe. It's been a while.
I don't remember exactly. Maybe it was just a quick little moment, and it wasn't enough to like retain that or something. But they still have the dollhouse. Like, didn't Nina was like, no, you keep that dollhouse, I don't want it or something. But then what happened to the key? I don't remember exactly, but I assume they have to have it because he needs all the keys. He says he's got all the keys but one. Mm-hmm. So I assume
some time has passed. So yeah, maybe they just got them all together.
Yeah. I didn't even know, gosh, I don't even remember having that many keys. If I know we've had a lot over the past three seasons, but that's right. A lot of keys.
You say them all together. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because you get this collector feeling, mentality. You know, when you collect something, even if you have a lot, you're just like, I want more. I need a new one. I want a cool new one. And that's how I feel about the keys. Like, when are they going to find some more keys? But then when you list them all out, it's like, wow, they have a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Yep.
Okay. Pake?
All right. next point, I'm going to talk about Josh in this episode, starting off with just another little thing that I noticed that just like, I don't know if anybody else picked up on. I mean, I know people online picked up on it and it made me pick up on it on my rewatch. So this kind of continuity or WTF-ness. So Josh is calling Nina to check in on things, and he's holding this Samsung phone to his head quite correctly, normally, until she tells him that she's at Ellie's and he can't talk, or that she can't talk. And then it cuts back to him and he's holding his phone upside down. the mic part is up in his ear. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm confused. Like, what was that choice? Why did they film it? Did they want to hide the Samsung logo in half the episode? I don't know.
Unless it's just been an accident, right?
Yeah.
Had to be a little flub there.
Yeah.
But it's funny. That made me think, like, the next scene you see him and Jamie goes, how'd your talk with Nina go? And I'm like, I don't know. Halfway through, I just kind of stopped hearing her. And I don't think she could hear me well either. So I don't know what happened.
Phone's acting distant, weird.
But I think it might have been my phone.
I think she just needs space, but it was hard to tell.
Yeah. Oh, so then, like, funny. After his run in with Bolton, and like he calls her again to give her a heads up that Bolton is headed that way with Jamie. And I was like, I guess he figured out how to hold the phone correctly. It didn't show him, just her end. I was like, I guess he figured that out. I was like, I don't know what's going on.
I didn't notice that at all. Hilarious.
But speaking of that like scene where I was like, damn, Bolton just straight up shot him. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's in it's right in the shoulder, he's fine. But like still it was kind of a shocking
that
little
felt
moment
like
where he like
that moment.
Yeah, where he shot Bolton first and Bolton's like, yeah, nope, that doesn't work on me, but you bam. And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah,
it was, right there.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by that too. I was like, oh shit, he did it. He went for it. Didn't shoot him in the gut like he threatened, but
yeah, that's
got
true.
Him.
Yeah, I mean that moment. I always feel weird saying I like a moment where someone's suffering, but it was a powerful moment. You know, it worked. Yeah. Yeah, even though it
showed
was horrifying.
That there are stakes.
Yeah, because the demons are like when Tyler and Kinsey are like. Can you need to let Jamie go. And he's like, okay, go basically. Or, when Gideon's holding a knife up to, Rufus's throat and, you know, like, you better not lie to me a second time. I'm serious. I'm going to do something this time. You guys are in danger. You really are. I know I haven't done anything yet, but right. I will. And it's
all been like, we are ruthless killers, but please don't. Okay.
Yeah, right. Send us on another chase for a key again. Yeah.
Right. So then Josh is wondering, you know, what the hell Nina is tied up in with for this guy to be showing up and violently threatening him over something that like a key that she's supposed to give to him. And yeah, he's just freaked out. So then he takes Jamie and heads off and, you know, Bolton says ACAB, not that one, but you know, all constabularies are banned. That one. but yeah, no, but it did. It kind of upped the ante because, like, yeah, these Gideon and his soldiers, whatever, have kind of, like, yeah, they've been formidable, but also not as dangerous as they were supposed to be. I don't know. Like, they scalped the one guy in the library. There is that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, for me, they're so one-dimensional that if they're one-dimensional and also impotent, then... wow, they suck as villains.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're not totally impotent, but at times I'm just like,
right.
Wow, they really should show them that they're serious here. And I know that's harsh to say. I don't want to see any of the locks die. They could, you know, at least smack somebody or something.
Right. Yeah. But to round out, like talking about Josh, I did like then kind of his moment with Nina. It was started off, I was like, well, luckily the hospital bought the, oh, I shot myself while cleaning a Revolutionary War gun. They bought that story. I don't know.
Why didn't you tell the truth? I mean, I guess the guy showed up at saying, bring me to Nina. She has a key or something. And he thought, well, probably, if Nina's involved, I better find out what's going on from her before I reveal anything. But you'd think in that situation when you just got shot, you might just tell the police what happened, you know?
Right.
Probably to protect Nina is my guess, knowing she's involved.
So then we'll just lie to the hospital. Be like, I shot myself directly in the shoulder while cleaning a gun that shouldn't work anymore. But I like their conversation there in the hospital bed. It was a nice role reversal from last season where Nina is scared to tell Josh what's really going on because she's going to sound crazy. And, you know, but then last season, you know, she listened to him and sought to understand what he was saying. So it was his turn.
He does the same thing.
And and I like that. She's like, you know, that crazy extra dimensional portal that you're looking for, you know, with your dead wife. It's real, except it's pretty much just demons that come out of it. And then one did. And he's inhabiting the body of your ancestor that you were writing about.
Because I'm not done.
And they want these magical keys that our family has control over so he can destroy the world. You know, classic lock hijinks.
OK.
He's like, you know what? That sounds fine. That sounds normal to me. I'm in.
Exciting.
But they have a great relationship where they can tell each other the most ridiculous sounding things. And they're like, right. I'm on your side. I believe you. Let's do this.
I support you. I'm the wind beneath your wings.
Hey, I like that part. I do like that. Josh and Nina was... you know, my next point as well. But I like that he was, you know, willing.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't being sarcastic. Yeah. Like, I really do enjoy
it.
Yeah. You know?
But when Paik, like, lays it out as if she had said every detail, then it does seem a little, like,
It is a little crazy.
It is a little crazy. But I think...
she just keeps going, wait, he's all, okay, I believe, wait, I'm not done. There's also, but my son went back in time, and now his ghost is the only thing left here, and it possessed a bird.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she can't tell him any of that stuff, right? I mean,
she can't
really tell him anything magical because it's just going to cause confusion. He's not going to get it. He's not going to retain it. And it just like makes things worse. But, you know, I like that moment. Josh has kind of shown himself to be someone who's a little, he's this historian. He's got these like romantic ideals. He's kind of got like this personality. I don't know. He's just kind of demonstrated that to me since last season. So I can totally see where he would, you know, like he doesn't fully grasp exactly what Nina is telling him. He's like, I feel like you're probably still leaving some things out, but I feel like she was able to find that way to explain to him in non-magical terms, you know, that allowed her to be truthful because she was
semi-magical.
Really struggling. Yeah.
She said there's a door to another world.
But he believed it too. I mean, he was like,
I wouldn't say that's non-magical.
Well, but I mean, she was able to tell him something without him like forgetting it or to like cause that weird, like every time they were talking to an adult who didn't understand magic, they were just kind of like, wait, what?
I think they were sort of, I mean, cause he was saying, I'm not understanding what you're saying. And that's not what a normal person would say. They would just say, really, a door to another world that exists, you know, but he was seemed like foggy, like you get when on this show and you can't grok magic, you know.
But didn't he already kind of believe something like that anyway?
Exactly.
Because that was...
that's yet another reason why he should be saying, oh, what I believed was true. But instead he's like, I'm confused by what you're saying.
Well, I like that moment between them because she was really stressing a lot about, you know, because it seemed like they were like coming back together and trying to build back on the relationship that they had before. But yet there was that gap there. Because she was having to keep all of these secrets and stuff. So, you know, and of course that just makes it worse. And she doesn't feel good about having to lie to him and not being able to tell him, but she can't tell him because he's not going to understand. And it just makes things worse.
I wonder if she'd consider using the memory key on him.
I know. I was thinking that too. I was like, will it maybe end up to where maybe they'll end up using, you know, maybe, I don't know how they try to explain it to him without it causing confusion because it's a magical type thing.
I'm going to stab you with this key, and then your world will become magical. Okay, like, I'm out of here.
Just trust, Tyler, trust me. You know,
sort of did it with Tyler. You know, he's like, okay, yeah. So I forgot everything, and you can help me remember it. And so I don't know. Yeah,
they could just approach it that way and say, look, you know, I know that there's some things that you want to know and I can't tell you because I don't know that you'll understand, but we have a way to help you understand. Is that something that you think you'd be interested in? The only thing is I don't know that, like, if they do that, you can't go back, right? Like, if he decided, like, oh, I know all these things and now I wish I didn't know.
Yeah.
He can't go backwards. Yeah, they should, like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. If you can remember things all magical, then this will allow you to forget the things magical, I guess. But I wondered that too. I feel like Josh would be open to something like that. And I wondered if maybe they would,
maybe that will
that will end. So, But I like that. I thought it was a sweet moment with them. And I'm glad that they're, I guess, working out. So, Jason, what's your next point?
My next and last point is parts I liked, and same thing, interaction between Josh. Yeah, that's it. It's nothing. There's a few. The interactions with Josh and Nina was the first one. Again, I'm not saying I like that this happened to the characters, but I thought it worked within the story when he called her because they had that whole date where Bodhi was, well, possessed by Dodge, but he thought just, you know, acting out because he didn't want Josh to take over his father's place. So he first checked to make sure Bodhi's okay, which was nice. And then said, hey, maybe we should keep things with the kids separate, which I think is smart, but she seems really distant. And that's because she had to leave her son behind. But he doesn't know that. And it was really good we know why she's distant, but from his perspective, it might just seem like, oh crap, she's losing interest or something's off and, you know, it's not working. And it made me feel like, you know, times when I've been on a call where I'm trying to connect and the other person's distant and I feel my heart sink. And then when after the call, he seemed kind of irritable with Jamie and he said, kind of sighed, maybe they need some space. And that seemed very real too, like a real response. So I liked it. You know, I like when these shows capture real human emotions and events and it seems like recognizable actual human exchanges and impulses and all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, when they did come back together, I mean, I love them as a couple. I think they have great chemistry. So yeah, I liked all that stuff. I already mentioned, but I thought it was a really chilling sequence when Josh shot Bolton and then Bolton wasn't hurt and then shot Josh. That felt like something out of the comic where it was really some really harsh things happened sometimes. Thrilling, horrifying, terrifying. When Kinsey was worried about Bodhi and feeling like she might not see him again and feeling bad about the last thing she said to him, and Tyler just gave her that really supportive, we're going to work this out. And I just like those moments between the Locke family mm-hmm. when they're supporting each other. It was so weird to see the Locks. We've heard them so many times sort of strategizing on how to deal with these demons, but it was weird to see them doing that in a place that wasn't like this antique mansion and it was just some apartment instead. It kind of took me out of it or something. Probably my strongest like was when Jamie said to Nina, where's Bodhi? And she goes, that's a little hard to explain. And Rufus goes, Dodge stole his body and now he's stuck at Key House as a ghost. She's like, oh shit.
I thought that was a really funny moment.
That was awesome. Just give her some credit. And then my last little one that I liked was I liked when they were, you know, Gideon was going to make Bolton go through the ghost door. And he was like, what? Will I encounter other ghosts? Kind of nervous. Like, yeah. I'm not so sure about this whole ghost thing. And Gideon's like, get your ass in there. So that was kind of funny. That gave him a little character. You know, that's what I like when they give the villains a little bit of personality other than just, mwah, I'm going to get you. All right.
Sorry.
I guess that's all the information.
I guess it's my turn. last point that I have, my last main point, is Gideon and kind of his plan and what's going on there. We see, you know, the portal that we were last week all just like, oh God, where are they going to go from here? And pretty quickly it's like, oh, there's still time. It doesn't work because he is missing one key, one that even the locks don't know about, which is interesting. I wasn't really sure at first why Gideon destroyed and buried, or not buried, burned the journal. I was thinking, I was like, what was the point of that? Just because Bodhi's watching, but he doesn't know Bodhi's watching, but it's to make Bodhi go, oh no. But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, maybe just so nobody else knows about the keys and what they do.
He knows
in case, you know, why, whatever why have this happens. Out
there. I mean, they probably shouldn't have had it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, cause I mean, he has all of them that are listed in the journal. He now has in his possession. So it's not like he needs it to look for more and he doesn't want anybody else to know what they do or what they are. He just wants them for the portal mainly. So I guess that's, I was like, well, I guess that makes sense. Like, he has no use for what all do they do and how to find more of them. He's like, I've got all what I need.
No good now could nobody come else from can having that around are. From his point of view, I don't think. Only bad.
Yeah. And then I liked when he's talking to Tyler and Kenzie, and really he says it more to Kenzie, the line where he says, those keys you speak of, they are my kind. You do not own my kin. And I think that right there sums up Gideon's whole motivation. The locks for generations and generations have been taking Whispering Iron, which is demons, and using it for their own gain. And since Gideon is a high level demon, obviously he doesn't like that. And it's kind of payback. You know, you took over my kind for power. Now I'm going to do the same, or at least I'm going to take that power back and wipe you out.
And I feel like that's a little more color on the nature of the Whispering Iron, because we knew that if you got shot with Whispering Iron, then you would be possessed by a demon. But it, at least to me, it wasn't clear that if you didn't get shot with the Whispering Iron, then it's still like a little like somehow demon inert sitting there, you know. But this makes me think, yeah, it is.
I mean, they whisper when they want to be found, and they don't always have the best of intentions. Like,
yeah, but sometimes they do have good intentions, and so it doesn't seem like they're necessarily.
But they just want to be used.
Yeah. So what's like, if they're happy, as long as they're used, then what's the problem? I mean, it just doesn't seem like they have demonic personalities as keys.
Mm-hmm. And then I was wondering, like, maybe the portal that's made from the keys is a way is he trying to return the demons that those keys were made of to a different form, their own form, kind of destroying the keys and bringing back the demons. I don't know. That was just like, what could be other pieces of what he's doing? Like, why, how does he know that, like, oh, if I combine all these keys, then it does such and such. So,
well, I think I don't know, but I remember I thought it was last week, because I think we were talking a little bit about Gideon's motivations. And I think that was something I said, that, well, maybe he's just pissed off because, you know, these keys are made of those demon bullets and they're demons and that's his kind. And he's pissed off about it. But I don't understand how it took him nearly opening that portal and like getting just this close before he realized he was still short one key. And he's like, I feel like there's one still missing. I'm like, why didn't you feel there was one missing before you opened up this portal? I don't know. Just why did it take
that? He has a lot of feelings when it comes to demon stuff. Even when he sees Ellen, he's like, you've been to my world before. I can sense it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I mean, I think I don't know. It just looked like he thought, okay, I got all the keys here. Here goes. And he was straining like, and he's like, oh no, I can't do it. I need one more. So it kind of made sense to me. It's like, oh, I just need a little more and then I can do it. You know, thought I could, but turns out I was wrong.
He can withstand a sledgehammer to the face and the back of the head. So just to see any strong, I kind of liked the face off with Ellie and Nina and stuff, even though it didn't last long, but it, you know, stuff kept him busy long enough for Tyler to get the one key and leave all the others on the floor for him to pick back up.
Oh my gosh.
This turned out that Ellie's renting a house from a carpenter. So they have hacksaws and pickaxes. And
oh yeah. They had a whole arsenal of tools/weapons. And then one other thing that I noticed that I, again, could maybe explain when I thought about it, but it really bothered me in the moment. Because we see after Ellie tells Gideon about this last key that's in Gordy's head, And he's like, I believe you. And then he goes and opens the Harlequin key to put all the keys back in the Harlequin chest and pull out just the head key that he needs. And I'm looking at all the keys he puts back in. And I was like, wait, when did he get the animal key back and the ghost key back? Because like they were just using those. And I was like, when did he get those back? It's literally been seconds. But then I noticed in the background that like Tyler and Kenzie and them were all tied back up. Their hands were all tied back up with rope and stuff with Bolt and slash Sam watching over them. And I was like, I guess it was just a scene that got cut and maybe shouldn't have, where he took the animal key back from them and then Sam Bolton took, you know, gave him the ghost key back or whatever. But it confused me for a while. I was like, wait, it was in the animal key. And then like it went like it was in the animal door and it literally went from that to him facing off with Ellie and Rufus, holding, you know, Rufus at knife point, being told, and then it like looked like, I was like, okay, well then he put the keys back in the chest. Like, well then we're off. And I was like, he had no time to, he wasn't even in the same room that the animal key was in. Where did that come from? And why is that back in his possession? So I feel like there was like a scene cut that we just kind of missed some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's they just kind of skipped over that. But yeah,
they had the time
that too. Like they didn't grab all the keys, but yeah, there were keys that they were using. So what about those?
Yeah, because that's like the first thing I noticed when he puts all them back in the chest. It's like the animal key was right there on the top of the pile. It's like, wait a minute.
I guess, yeah, I guess we just have to assume that when all of that ended there and they were all on the steps, that he must have had Bolton or Sam, I guess in this case, take them back or whatever back in his possession. I didn't even see that key. So that was a good observation. Oh boy. I feel like I mostly have just notes left. Short,
me too, yeah.
Short, quick little notes. Well, talking of Ellie, you know, she's been acting really weird, in my opinion anyway, all season. And I thought that a lot of it probably had to do with her trauma, what she had been through, having been in this demon portal or whatever, and whatever happened there. And now being back in Matheson, kind of being back in that environment, back where everything happened, and bad memories, I guess, of everything that came back. And I guess that's probably partly true, but now I think it's also being back and having ran into Gordy, now that we know that he has this key in his head, and knowing that her and the other keepers did that. And so, I mean, I think that helps kind of, at least for me, make sense of how her attitude has been this season. Cause I feel like she's just been acting very weird, very off. She's very skittish. She's very elusive with, you know, Rufus about her plans on being in Matheson and that they're not staying, that they're moving. And I wondered now, and that now makes sense. And I'm like, why didn't she tell the locks before about this?
Wait, I'm confused key? Because through the whole season, we saw her come back, try to make a go of it, but then she was mostly there because Rufus wanted to go there. Because we know, yeah, like you said, this was the scene where she got, this was the location where she got thrown into this horrific demony world that just leaves her with all these bad feelings. She said that, you know, it's like a bad feeling. So that's enough for me, for her to feel like, oh, I'm going back to the close to the demon world. And then on top of that, she tried to get her job back at school and they were being really judgmental with her about leaving her son, you know, and she was afraid that was going to happen. And so it did. So with all of, that's when she decided, hey, no, we can't stay here. I changed my mind. I'm not going to take this job. So with all of that, I don't understand why having left a key in this guy's head would have much impact on why she was acting weird or whatever.
Well, this she,
it's like a secret she's kept for some reason for this whole time. I mean, we don't know.
I mean, it's weird. Does. Yeah. We, it's a violation as far as I'm concerned that you would leave one of these magic keys in someone's head without their knowledge. But I just, yeah. I'm not understanding what you're saying, that now it makes sense to you why she's acting weird, because she knows that key's in his head.
Yeah. She was acting weird around him. Where did she Right. Was it the wedding?
At the wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
And he seemed jealous of... But I mean, I'd have to go back and watch that again. But when he came up, she was really smiley. Glad to see him, it seemed like. And then when he started to get a little weird about how they were this clique and he wished he could have been in it, then she seemed a little awkward. But I at least when I saw that at the time, I thought he's the one who made it awkward. Maybe if we went back and watched it again, it would, you know, seem different now that we know what's up with him. Because we knew something's going to have to happen with this guy because they keep showing him. But and I'm glad
showing up randomly. It's like he's
something more
somehow
interesting than him just being bad or something. I mean, maybe he's bad, but this is a little more interesting. It makes me feel critical of the Keepers of the Keys, but I don't know the whole story, so I guess we'll find out. Hopefully.
Yeah, well, we can hope anyway. I don't know if I do have much hope with the show that we'll get very much information as far as why they made that decision. But I am interested to see what this key is. You know, like, you know, Kinsey and them were talking in that storage closet or whatever. Like, well, I wonder what it does. Like, why would they go so far as to hide it in someone else's head? And then knowing that it's never, you know, at least the last one left, right? So if anything happened to her, mm-hmm. all knowledge of that goes away. And then if something happened to Gordy, well, then you can never get the key. You know, you could never access it. Or so why?
Well, wasn't there a time when someone had, I may be just making this up, someone had something in their head and then they got destroyed, but the key was just sitting there? What, did that happen ever?
Yeah, I don't remember. Was that the show or was it the comics?
I thought it happened in the show because I remember
because Rendell had a key in his head, and then maybe it was just the comics, but maybe they did do it on the show too.
Yeah,
but like he had a key in his head, and then when he died, he was cremated. And
yeah,
then, like, the key was in.
That's what it was. It was in the urn.
Like yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe if Gordy died, the key would just what's this?
Yeah, yeah, or if they buried him, then. It would just be down there, yeah, in the coffin.
Sorry, I had to think about it for a second. Yeah, I guess, but then the knowledge, if anything happened to Ellie, though, the knowledge of that, nobody would know. But then, and if he didn't get cremated, then...
Yeah, nobody would know that it was there, yeah.
And they should really be... Ellie should be teaching them all, because she knows... She knows they have all the keys except for this one. So she must have been sort of keeping track, you know, of what they found and everything.
Right. Which was weird then, because then Ellie straight up lies to Kinsey back at where Ellie and Rufus are living, where Kinsey goes, because like Bolton shows up or whatever, before Bolton shows up, but after Josh calls and is like, he's looking for a key. And it's like, Gideon has all the keys. And then Kinsey looks at Ellie and goes, are there any keys that we haven't found? And she goes, not that I know
of.
Oh,
wow. It's
like,
God.
Yeah.
She's like,
that's why I was so frustrated. Like, we've since like season one, you know, and then like season two. One.
Yeah, where she felt
and
guilty.
Then
right.
With everything
up.
With Dodge going on and yeah. all of that stuff. And, or I guess that was more season one. And then season two with mostly she was gone, but all these opportunities that she had that she could have said something. And then yes, that point right there
like in this episode or Kinsey asks her exactly the question
that.
Are there any other keys we don't know about, and she goes, nope. Not that I know of. And then she has this weird little side glance like, you think she's
yes.
lying.
Yeah,
it's like is. Gideon's literally threatening lives over this, and you're gonna just lie to their face and keep it to yourself. What?
Yeah,
what's why?
Yeah, why? Because she's ashamed of how it happened, I would assume. We'll see.
Well, it's you know, you just got to eat some shit,
yeah.
honestly, in my opinion, and let that go. Because
watch Better Call Saul and take a cue.
Yeah, there's
no spoilers.
So I don't know. That was really frustrating, and that's, you know, part of it too. It's like, I don't know if she's just carrying that around, and all of it's getting to her being back there around all of that again, and it's everything else that including that is weighing in on her. But I was pissed. I was like, you've had all these opportunities. You just literally lied to them and withholding it even before this, you know. And then when they ask you point blank, are you aware of any other keys? Nope. Sorry, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And then, oh, yep, we do. I'd be a little bit pissed off.
When Rufus's life is threatened, then she's like, oh, there's another king. I know exactly where it is.
Exactly.
Maybe she's lying and she's just like, who can I throw under the bus? Gordy.
That guy's always been a weirdo. Go get him.
You gotta rip his head apart and you'll find it right there.
Yeah.
And then as she's out the door, she's like, there's no other key. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Anyway, that was more of just a note. So, Jason, do you have
Got some notes. I'm glad they included Sam Lesser. I feel like it would have seemed like bad writing not to acknowledge him, considering we know he's a ghost mm-hmm. out there and kind of brings things full circle to the beginning of the series. I, of course, thought, well, Bodhi's been out there for a while. Why did Sam Lesser pick now? It's because that's when the writers decided to. To their credit, they did make it sound like he'd been talking to Chamberlain already, because he goes up to him and he goes, he's going after my family. So Chamberlain already has the context there, which is good. I did not realize Bodhi didn't realize he was still around, you know, at all. He thought Sam was dead and gone. And so this was the first comfort. And I don't blame, I'm glad they,
I don't think anybody knew that.
No, really? I forgot, but I don't blame Bodhi for hating him. And so, you know, I got, cause after what happened at the end of season one, fuck that guy. But, he's genuinely sorry. And now he's like roommates with an old man ghost for all eternity. Mm-hmm. and I like that he possessed Bolton, because it was fun to see that actor act way different. Like, it's me. Mm-hmm. Did a pretty good job. I thought it was very villainy of Gideon to refer to the locks by their roles. He goes, hunt them down. Start with the historian. He knows the mother. And I'm like wondering if he calls Bodhi the boy and Kinsey's the girl or something. And I'm like, what if they had twins? Then he would be like, start with the twin. And Bolton would be like, which one? And he'd be like, the outgoing one. that's how I think when I watch this stuff. Let's see. Yeah, I already talked about that one. That's boring. Sorry, guys. So I'll go to the end. So this really felt like a pretty climactic episode, but there's two more left. And so it'll be interesting to see what they have left. We know Gideon still has the same goal to merge the universes, and he needs one more key, and he's going to take Gideon to go get it from Gordy. And so I'm curious about that. But what I'm really excited about is I looked at the next episode, and it's written by Carlton Cuse and Joe Hill. Those are the writers. Which is very cool. Joe Hill wrote the comic, of course, created this whole thing. And then the finale is by the showrunners Meredith Averill and Carlton Cuse. So I'm hoping that's a good sign, especially for this next one written by Joe Hill. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
See if it's any more or less, if I'll have like less nitpicks and stuff. I kind of feel bad. I'm sorry, guys. I guess I was in a mood, but
yeah, I was like, it's like a role reversal from last week.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
It was my turn to like enjoy an episode a lot more and then have Jason dash it upon the rocks. Apart.
Yeah. I'll try not to do that next week. I don't like listening to podcasts that like the one I just made. Sorry, everybody.
Well, I feel like I've been pretty nitpicky for a lot of the season. So
yeah, it's not as good. I don't think. Still good, but not as good.
Mm-hmm. Enough good, fun stuff to make it worth watching.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah. But if this was the first season, or if I had seen this season, I don't know if I'd be like, we have to do a podcast about this show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd just watch it.
Yep.
All right.
You have some notes.
Let's see if I've got any that we haven't already talked about. I had stuff about Ellie. I think we've covered that. Sam, I had a feeling Sam would return. We weren't sure. I was like, was it Jason who was the non-believer at one point? You're like, I don't know. We haven't seen him so far. Maybe they won't. But I was like, hey, mm-hmm. Finally did. which, you know, yeah, he picks his time. He goes to Bodhi to kind of understand him. For Bodhi to understand Sam a little bit more. After the, you know, the first encounter, of course, Bodhi is like, you killed my dad. You like, why? I didn't even know you were out here. Were you? So I like that Chamberlain kind of does stick up for him. He goes, you know, I would never defend the things that he did, but he has been trying to atone. Like, you can say, like, he's definitely, the repentance is real. Like, he's been out here long enough to where he feels bad for everything that he did. And I do like that when Bodhi confronts him, he says, just because I'm talking to you doesn't mean I forgive you. And he goes, I wouldn't expect you to. And he's just like, you know, Dodge had power over me, but I made my choices. I like that Sam owned up to everything that he did. And it's like, yeah, I was manipulated, but at the end of the day, it was me who made that call, the choice for me to do those things. And so if you want to hate me forever, I'm not going to hold it against you. So I did like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Of course. Yeah, and then him teaching Bodhi to guide the birds. There's a spiritual sense with the birds, which is how he led Kenzie to the angel key with the birds. And then, yeah, I kind of made the joke earlier. I was like, I wonder how long it took him. He's just like, how bored of you as a ghost? You're like, I think I'm going to see if I can control birds with my mind. that's today's goal.
I wonder, how the hell did people figure out how to make bread? And I'm sure there was like a series of intermediary steps that somehow led to that. You know, it wasn't just right. Like grain and then bread, you know, it's like, I don't know how to make bread or else I could probably try to figure it out.
And then, yeah, the very end of the episode with Sam, it was again, like, it's a kind of cool moment, but also is kind of funny for me. Just like, I think the same way that Jason does sometimes, where I'm like thinking of the unspoken things, where he goes like, it's okay, I'm not Bolton, it's me, Sam. And he says it with this huge smile, like it's going to be good news.
Yeah,
to
it's
them.
Like, oh,
don't worry, guys, it's me, the guy who murdered your father and husband, and then came back to threaten and try to murder you until you thought I was dead. So you're super happy to see me, right?
I know. I thought that too. I was like, you think they're excited about that? I mean, how are you any less of a threat to them anyway than what Bolton was? I mean, maybe slightly, but you know, that doesn't make it any better.
I mean, I wish I could remember because. He had already seemed repentant at one point, but I don't remember if the locks saw any of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it was kind of between him and Dodge where he was like, wait, is that what it was? You're doing, what we're doing is wrong. And then Dodge kills him. So it was like, well.
Yeah, I don't think they saw any of that.
Or stabs him.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only person, so maybe Bodhi's the only one who's going to be able to like speak up for him now.
Yeah.
Was Bodhi's spirit guide tour of the birds enough for him to forgive or, you know, stick up for Sam? I don't know.
And the fact that this guy is not killing, trying to hurt them. He just let him out of the pantry. That should help a little.
Mm-hmm. And just like, other random notes, the opening, of course I make note of it now just cause we were talking about it, was the animal key with the sparrow as well. And of course do comic talk later, but I mean, like the first time I watched it, I saw that and I was like, yep, they're doing it. Glad that I held my tongue last week on Comic Talk and didn't talk about it because they're doing exactly what I was going to talk about.
yeah, that's good.
But yeah, that's it other than comic stuff later.
Awesome. Let's see. I think the only note that I have that we haven't really quite talked about, or at least in this way, was, you know, we mentioned Chamberlain Locke out in this ghost plane. And, you know, I feel like I kept saying a lot all season, like, Chamberlain's right out there. Why don't you guys go talk to him more, utilize him more? And then when I realized that when they have this opportunity, he's kind of useless because all he did was like, try to tell Bodhi, well, you know, Sam's trying to atone. He's, you know, sorry. And I'm thinking, wow, great, Chamberlain. Any other great insights that you want to help with?
He's even just sitting- tell, like, he's helped you before. How? You go ask him. I'm like, no, you tell me.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like that because I think Chamberlain's playing mediator bit where he's like, you know, for Sam to set things right, it is best that it comes from him versus like third party.
Bodhi should be like, so how do we defeat these demons?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, where's all these, you know, he should be at least trying to ask questions. I don't know if Chamberlain even knows, but it can't hurt to ask anyway. You know, and I'm like, you're not proving to be very helpful, at least not from what I'm seeing on the screen anyway. But, and then I think
how should we fight Gideon? It's like, I don't know, but Sam's actually a good boy.
Right. And then the only other thing that just a weird out of place line, it felt after Jamie was there at Ellie's house and Ellie's like, are you okay? Can I make you a sandwich? You know, just.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was like, she
just saw her father get shot.
Going through this dramatic event and she's like, can I get you a sandwich? And I'm just like, that seems like the weirdest thing to say in that moment.
It does seem weird, but also like, I feel like sandwiches would help me, would be comfort in a lot of ways. So I kind
of
get
all
it.
All of it just seems so weird. They run for their lives in the middle of the night from their home because they've got a demon that's trying to steal their keys and ruin the world, essentially, or destroy their world. Their brother slash son is left behind and they're just chilling over at Ellie's. They're taking showers, changing clothes and having breakfast and cereal. And I'm just like, what is this? Yeah.
They're having little heart to heart moments and stuff. And Nina seems, you know, kind of distracted.
Yes. I don't know. I was just like, where's the urgency? It just doesn't feel like anything is at risk here. It just felt very strange and out of place. The tone was off for me.
It was. I was happy that the show raised the stakes. It's like, oh, it went from this teen drama where Gabe, the demon, loves Kinsey to this other guy who's a one-dimensional villain, but at least he's threatening the very existence of our entire world, and then they don't even acknowledge that he's doing that through the whole episode. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, so I know I'm kind of ranting too, but I can't pretend. I am trying to pick things that I like, but I can't pretend. Yeah. All right. And any other notes? Anything else to say about this one? No. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, we'll never talk about this episode again.
Done.
Finished with it. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our listener feedback. We did get a little feedback this week. Jason, you want to take that first one?
Yeah, it's from Greg Schwamm, who says, feedback to the Episode 5 podcast. In regard to Jason thinking they would use the identity key to switch Dodge to Bodhi at the end, didn't Gabe tell Eden that you couldn't use the key to simulate a person who already exists? Oh, good point, Greg. Hadn't even thought of that. Well, he could be Bodhi with brown eyes, right?
So, but if it really is the essence of Bodhi that's using it, then isn't it turning him back to his normal self? So it's not like a new...
No, I think he's got
it's
a
so
point.
It's so complex. My brain hurts.
You can't use the identity key to simulate somebody who's real. They've made that pretty clear. I don't know if it, you can, if there's loopholes, but you know, without the loopholes, I would say that's a good point. Good point.
All right, the next from Don Elizabeth, who says, I commented for the last episode, but did so too late for you to see it. I haven't been able to keep up with you with this show, unfortunately, but I have been watching and listening to the podcast. Overall, I'm enjoying this season, but wow, this episode had so many things I thought were just stupid. The locks just keep doing such dumb things. When Tyler and Kinsey grabbed the ghost key, why didn't they take all of them? Nina was more concerned with Josh being injured than with her kids being taken. Mm-hmm. Why didn't Ghost Bodhi go look for Chamberlain earlier? Things like this take me right out of the action. I still like the show, but really wish the writers gave a bit more thought to what they were asking the actors to do. And Gideon, I really like Kevin Durant, but I don't care for him in this role at all. In the same way that so many people didn't care for Negan, even though they love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I just don't like Gideon's character. All of his mannerisms bother me, which make him not all that convincing to me as the bad guy. I apologize for all this negativity. You're not alone this week.
Yeah, don't apologize for making me feel seen. Yeah. Thank you.
She finishes off with, overall, I do like this show, perhaps because I know it will be ending soon and I'm being more critical.
I think there's a lot that share your thoughts there, Dawn. Feel bad. Okay, Lindsay Schlicht says, I think I finally figured out why I dislike Gideon so much. For one thing, his face.
Oh, low blow.
Poor Kevin Durant.
Figured out why I don't like you. It's your face.
I love Lindsay so much. I really do. She goes on. His mouth is weird AF. He does a weird nostril twitchy thing, and his eyes are always enormous. But beyond his crazy face, the character is also mediocre. He's supposed to be the big bad of the season, and yet have we actually seen him hurt anyone besides the librarian? There's no stakes with him. Bolton as well.
He stabbed Tyler or cut him or something, but Tyler seems fine now, so not a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bolton as well seems very low danger. No one has been able to shoot anyone anywhere but the shoulder. Convenient. Hostages are kindly released. They are easily tricked and delayed by teenagers at every turn. And even in a fight, he does no actual harm to anyone. He could have easily used the axe against Nina and Ellie, but instead simply breaks it in half. Even a few tiny sparrows are a huge problem for him.
That's a big problem.
Not the birds.
No.
Anything but the birds.
Mortal enemies, the birds.
My one weakness.
Found my Sorry, I need a second. She goes on. Tiny Dodge Bodie was more imposing. Gabe, Dodge, Eden, even Javi were all better demons than these two.
I agree.
Eden was great. Bring back Eden. Sorry, that was me, not Lindsay. She goes on. I know Kinsey and Tyler were rushing to find the animal key, but why not just grab them all up at the same time and put this all to an end? There were a few highlights I enjoyed this episode. Bodhi's plan to get his body back was really smart, and I love the twist of Sam in Bolton's body. Also, this missing key in Gordy's head is interesting. I wonder what it does. Talk about violation. Why didn't they hide it in one of their heads?
Right.
Poor, dumb Gordy.
Yeah, you guys are all absolutely right. And I mean, seriously, seeing all those keys right there and just kind of picking through to find which one were they looking for?
The ghost key.
And not taking more? Fuck that. Come on. That's like... You're just asking us to criticize the show when you do that.
Yeah.
I'd be grabbing as many.
Lazy.
Yeah.
Just pocket all of them and then find the key.
You couldn't write it any more like asking people to be like, why didn't they do that? Come on, you know? Like, if you tried, I think they're just messing with us.
I don't know. We'll see. Thanks, guys. That was great. And thanks, Lindsay, you really made me cry with that one. It was really good. Okay. We got a couple of voice messages this week. The first one we have is from Jade.
Woo!
Aloha, aloha. Okay, we got so much out of this episode, I'm just going to dive right in. So, okay, it's been in my notes every week, and I'm so bummed I haven't mentioned it, but I assume we all know that we're on the lookout for the drawing key. Yay, it's finally coming. I can't wait for this one, and I bet Duncan and his artistic skills will play a part in it. Okay, but let's talk about Ellie, because... she has apparently hidden this drawing key in Gordy's head. If you remember, I called out Gordy as being super sketch, and he was giving me villainous vibes, but it looks like I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like we're in for a big twist here. But as I said before, Ellie is one of the most underutilized characters on this show. It's like the writers don't know what to do with her. They continually set her up to play like a major part in the fight, but the writers consistently let me down in seasons 1 and 2 by turning her into like a weak damsel in distressy character who ends up being like remarkably unresourceful and not smart in her planning. Okay, but at the beginning of this season, she does appear to have finally grown a spine, and she gets a voice, she stands up for herself, and I want to see that continue. When we're left at the end of this episode, I'm like, okay, Ellie, this is your moment, babe. I really hope you got something up your sleeve here, girl. It's definitely now or never, because I thought the time was long past for this character to rise to the challenge. I'm definitely willing to give her another chance, though, because I just hope the writers come through. Because I want to be really clear here, Sherry Somm is an incredible actor, And despite everything, I'm always rooting for her. And Rufus, just like as people, they're great actors and I want them to do well. So one more thing with Ellie. Gideon says he recognizes her. He's like, oh, you've been to my world. And she's like, yes, I escaped. And I started screaming, how did you escape? Are you ever going to tell us? Mm. I mean, it still angers me that we don't know how she ended up on the other side of that damn black door at the end of season two, I think. Season one. She was under the rubble of the cave. But two. I don't know if we'll ever get that answer. I really want to know what it is that she remembers about the demon world, though, because it's clear at the beginning of the episode she has some kind of memory flashback when she's in the car with Rufus. And I have been very disappointed by the vagary of the answers that are given when she's asked about her time among the demon world. So I hope we get more of that. I basically just want more Ellie all around because I love Sherry Somm and I think the character has major potential. Another question I have is about Josh and his demon connections, because Gideon is his ancestor. So does that mean he has potential powers to defeat Gideon? I have been asking what it is that's special about Gideon, not the demon who possesses him, but actually the man, Captain Gideon, who opened the portal way back in the 18th century. Why was he able to do that? What is his power? Did he pass it on to Josh? I really hope Josh uses that memory key and helps fight the demons and discovers a hidden power of his own. I think that would be really cool. I also appreciated that Gideon, what he wants is made very clear in this episode. He just wants to take over the freaking world and wipe it clean of humans, I think. And he clearly just wants retribution for what the Locks have done to his demon kin by appropriating the Whispering Iron and calling it their own. So I liked that clarity. And honestly, he has a point. So, you know, the more you know. Okay, moving on to my two biggest gripes of the episode. Now, I really think that the Bodhi switcheroo was extremely cool and very smartly done. I did not see it coming. It was brilliant. But does Kinsey speak Sparrow? First of all, how did she see Bodhi as a ghost when they first got back to the house? Because that's never been possible before, and no one else can see Bodhi's ghost. And how does she understand Bodhi's plan to body swap with a sparrow just by looking at the bird when it flies through the ghost door? I mean, I get that she knows it's him, but like, she understands the plan and she's like, Tyler, trust me, we got this. Let's get the animal key. It's like, what kind of magical powers of bird communication does Kinsey have? I don't know. That's not her spirit animal. So that was weird. Second problem. Why in God's name have they left all of the keys on the ground? Guys. I thought it was brilliant the way that they pulled the axe on Gideon. You know, Nina and Ellie were like teaming up and everyone worked together to get those keys out of his little waist pocket. But they were just so excited to bring Bodhi back that they just left all the keys on the ground and didn't think to grab them and use one of them on Gideon. God, Gideon had no other help. It was just him on his own and they just wasted a huge opportunity. I was so mad. It was at that point that I rolled my eyes and I said under my breath, boo, you lazy writers, boo to you. For shame. Have more respect for your characters, guys. Have more respect. Okay, now I really want to shout out Ian Lake, who plays Bolton. I'm so excited to see what he does in the show, because if you guys didn't know, he's an incredibly talented theater actor who is in one of my favorite productions of Macbeth, which is one of my favorite plays. He was in the 2017 Stratford Festival, and you can see the full video on Amazon. He's amazing, so shout out to Ian Lake. Love to see him. I also want to remind everyone that those sisters are still trapped in the mirror. And if the writers do nothing with that, I will be extremely disappointed, because at this point, it feels like Chekhov's gun kind of thing. You know, you planted them there at the beginning of the show. Please tell me you're going to do something with them before the jig is up here. We're nearing the end, guys. I'm excited for that. I hope it's coming. And lastly, but not leastly, let's hear it. Let's hear it, guys, for the unsung hero, the true MVP of the episode, the little sparrow who sacrificed himself on behalf of Bodhi. I mean, what a bird, what a bird, what a bird, what a mighty fine bird. And that's all. Okay, I know it's long. Sorry about that. Thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
There's a few things about that message. The drawing key, I don't understand that reference.
Yeah, I noticed you were taking notes. So I was like, I'm taking notes for this voicemail as well. So drawing key. I completely forgot about it till she said it, and I was like, holy shit, that might be what it is. That goes back all the way to, was it episode one? It must have been, because that's when the sisters were thrown in the mirror. when the sisters are talking to Gideon and they're talking about all the different keys and the powers, and they did, because I remember talking about them mentioning, and there's one that anything you draw comes to magical life or something like that.
Yeah. That's going to be
it. And we have not seen that key.
That's cool. That's a cool. Yeah. Well, too bad we only have two episodes and we won't get to see them explore that key. That's cool. The sparrow, I mean, it was a bit shorthand, but I sort of accepted it because, I mean, it was convenient that she was the only one to see, but Kinsey saw the sparrow come through the ghost door and go limp. So she knew that that little sparrow was now a ghost, but then it came back to life. And so she just kind of intuited, oh, okay, that's Bodhi. And it went tweet, tweet, tweet. And I guess she just figured out that he wanted to use the animal key to turn back into Bodhi. I mean, I don't think the sparrow tweeted in such a way that, that she understood it or anything, but I think she just kind of figured out what Bodhi was trying to do. But yeah, on a lot of other points, we already were simpatico.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the only other, two little notes I took on that was she mentioned, you know, Kinsey talking to Bodhi or seeing him. As far as I, take it, she didn't see him, but it was the ice. Focused on the ice on the fountain. Yeah. So she kind of knew he was there.
She didn't see
so
the ghost,
it was kind of hoping, like, if you can hear me, we're going to take this guy's body, but he doesn't know that plan. So, yeah. And then the other thing she's talking about, the powers of Gideon, how he was one that was able to open the door even before he was possessed. And I think I might've talked about this last season when we saw that, was it just kind of the end of last season? Mm-hmm. The only way I can think that maybe explains it where Gideon doesn't have any power at all is the fact that he literally had the blood of a lock on his hands when he was touching that cave wall. He had just killed the lock father.
Yeah, what was his name?
So maybe Benjamin, the lock or blood on his hands with Peter Lock, or was that the son? Yeah. I don't remember. But he had the blood on his hands and then touched the wall in a certain spot and it opened the door. So it might still have been because it's a lock, but I like the idea that maybe Josh does have some kind of power lineage too. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they'll go with
it. I had forgotten that Gideon was Josh's ancestor until they mentioned it last episode.
I remembered it in one of the episodes this early on, and I didn't put it in my notes, but I was like thinking about it, watching Josh on screen. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't Gideon his ancestor? And then I was like, I doubted myself. I was like, no, you're making that up in your head, because that's what I do sometimes. I just make up. So I was like, no, you're probably.
Then you
wrong.
Get to that scene where Nina's like, and then Gideon, he's like my ancestor, and you're like, I knew
it. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that.
Yeah. And it wasn't worth it to me to go back to rewatch or try to find it in season two. Cause I was like, I feel like they talked about it in season two. Cause he was so obsessed.
Look on the wiki. Cause then you'll find out everything.
Yeah. Can't go Googling. So I didn't want to, but I thought I had that thought, and then I was like, no, you're being stupid. You're going to be dumb if you say that. That was a great voicemail. Thank you, Jade. Thank you all for that feedback. That's really great. Only a couple more. Like you said.
Yeah, two more.
Yeah. Hope you stick with it.
Yeah, this. As much as I complained, I feel like I want to, as soon as we're done with this, go watch the next one. So.
Yeah, I definitely want to see what happens next. I want to see if they get whatever this other key is from Gordy, and see their reaction, knowing that Sam is back and helping them, if that's going to be enough to redeem him in their eyes, or I don't know. But yeah, definitely want to see that. Okay. Well, let's get into comic talk. Peggy said at the top there that you had some things that you wanted to cover in this section. So let's hear it.
Yeah. Two things, which one I kind of talked about a lot of it just kind of while we were discussing, but combine it with what I said last week. The comic version, again, Dodge possesses Bodhi's body. and then they end up killing Dodge, which then, kills Bodhi's body. And then they even have a full funeral. Bodhi is cremated. So it's a different situation, but is left with, once they realize Bodhi ghost is floating around and there's no body for him, what do we do? And so that's what it's the same route they take in the comics, where his ghost flies into a sparrow through the ghost door, and then Tyler uses the animal key and has the sparrow fly through, and poof, Bodhi's back. So it's done the same way in the comics, almost exactly. So, I mean, they took their own source material there and put it on screen. Mm. So again, a lot of the other plan around it is still a little weird, as we talked about, but as far as that working, I mean, it's comic book accurate, as far as even Joe Hill had established that's how that would work. So it made it good for me, at least. I was like, well, yeah, because that's how it happened in the book. So makes sense to see it here.
And the plan was similar or the same in the comics?
Well, there wasn't really, because there was no Gideon. There was no. So, I mean, at that point, Dodge was dead and taken care of. So it literally was just them being like the because it was like the very end, like how the books ended.
Okay.
You know, it's like one of the last things that happens, because they're like, you know, okay, everything's back to normal, except we don't have Bodhi, but we know he's a ghost flying around on the ground. So how do we get him back? And then, so that was just kind of how they wrapped up the story with Bodhi, is getting him back that way. So it's not like there was any other issues they were facing at the time. It was just like, oh, we've come up with an idea of how to get Bodhi back.
Okay. Maybe it just makes more sense in a comic book than trying to see it on screen, trying to translate that is kind of strange.
Right. And then the other thing that was from the comics that I noticed, which we had a fun time kind of laughing about it with feedback, but the sparrows swarming on the attack is taken from the comics as well. Again, not Gideon. Gideon doesn't exist in the comics, but maybe was it episode one also when we saw Bodhi and Kinsey using the animal key? Mm-hmm. And
so I think she Kinsey was a cat.
Oh, your little sparrow friends. And he says something like, I don't have any sparrow friends yet. And I think I made a little remark. I was like, oh, not yet, Bodhi. But there's time for that. And that's, I kind of made that, you know, remark, because in the books, Bodhi, again, it's the same thing, becomes a sparrow, and he does kind of form this bond with all the other sparrows, and he goes out and hangs out with all his bird friends. And then at one point in the comics, Dodge uses the animal key, and Dodge turns into a wolf. And then he sneaks up on Kinsey and tries to kill and attack Kinsey as a wolf. And Bodhi notices this, and so then Bodhi goes through the door and becomes a sparrow and gathers all of his sparrow friends, and they all bombard the wolf and attack the wolf, saving Kinsey. A lot of great sparrow lives were lost in the battle. But
that's cooler.
But yeah, so you get...
That's cooler.
Yeah, so in the comic, you get this, a bunch of sparrows all attacking this wolf, saving Kinsey. And so I was wondering if they were going to do something like that, but again... Gideon is still in just like human form, quote unquote, demon human form, doesn't change. But then I was like, yeah, CGI to also have a wolf in this battle and stuff probably was just, they didn't want to deal with that. But at least the idea of the sparrows bombarding and attacking the main demon villain was
so comic they still book, plucked it,
you know,
the idea
information. Yeah. So it was their version of that.
Interesting. I can't wait to read it.
As you're talking about all that, I have like vague memories. Must have read that 5 or 6 years ago or something. Maybe longer. I don't know.
Because I remember when we first saw them using it, and he was the bird, and they mentioned something about bird friends.
Yeah, like, that's.
Do we get Gideon as a wolf at some point in the season? And so no, we don't. But we kind of get a similar
maybe it was. Just they probably didn't have the budget to do that well. That's what I presume. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think wolves are probably harder than sparrows.
Yeah, but could never be harder than deer, because we've learned that's the impossible. Hardest animal to CGI.
It is the most challenging, yes.
It'd be funny if, have you been watching Rings of Power?
I've seen the first two episodes.
It's incredibly gorgeous.
Behind, but it's beautiful. And it'd
just be funny if it's just this beautifully realized high production.
And then deer walks up. Yeah,
it's a crappy deer right in the middle of everything.
I've yet to see a good CGI deer. I don't think I have, because, like, I mean, Walking Dead is, of course, the biggest, you know,
but there's been other people go to.
Yeah.
But even like Sweet Tooth, the scenes with the other deer, I was like, oh, gosh. Or even like House of the Dragon, talk about that. I mean, there was the hunting party scene. That stag was still not great. Like, I don't know, or both of those stags. So it's like, deer is just, I guess they're just really hard to CGI. I don't know.
There are those Disney reimagined, like the Jungle Book and the Lion King, and those animals look pretty good. They might be kind of stylized though. But anyway, I wonder if there's any deer in that. I can't remember, but I would imagine if there were, they might look pretty good. Speculation.
Well, the dragons look fantastic.
They do.
That's true. The dragons are awesome.
They are beautiful. They look real. And I still want one. That's great. Any other thoughts on Comic Talk?
That's it.
Awesome. That's really great to kind of learn where that kind of came from. And that they plugged it straight from there. Modified it a little, of course, for their purposes. Okay.
All right. Next week on this podcast, we're going to be talking about season 3, episode 7, Curtain. Curtain. That just doesn't sound very exciting.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of a like mediocre week, type.
It's the iron
it's
curtain.
Chair. No, it's a bowl. What was this week's?
Freebird.
Freebird. That's better. Yeah. Freebird's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Hopefully the episode exceeds the title.
I pull back the curtain.
I mean, it's one of the first ones this season. I'm like, I have no idea what to expect from that. So
behind the curtain. Well, we are excited for you to follow us in the Key House, but until then you can follow us on Twitter at StrangeTCast.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/StrangerTCast.
You can email us at StrangerThingsCastPod@gmail.com and can also find us on the TV Time app.
You can find Strange Indeed and a bunch of other Podcastica shows at podcastica.com. And you should go and follow and subscribe to all of those and leave reviews. Download every episode. Thank you.
All of them.
All the stuff. All the goodies.
Yeah. There's a lot of new content right now. There's a lot more podcasts than ever, I think, under the Podcastica network. And you guys, so Handmaid's Tale just came out. Jason, you want to tell everyone about?
Yeah. It's a good one to talk about. So we were able to get screeners for the first 8 episodes, but we are being good and not watching them all before we podcast on the next one. But we were able to podcast about the first 2 early. And so those episodes are already out and we'll continue to do that through the first 8. So we'll have a podcast episode out as soon as you're finished watching Handmaid's Tale. That should be in your feed. So that'd be cool. Anyway, I thought this season started out really strong. And I was also happy to hear that they announced season 6 would be the final season of the show. I love this show, but I also feel like sometimes it just descends into, well, I don't even know if I want to say it, but I just feel like it's good to have a concise, powerful message rather than draw it out too long, you know?
Yeah. I'm always in that same boat where I think the shows that I love the most, I want them to end on their own terms versus getting just run into the ground like some shows
do. And especially this one though, you just see so much suffering and I think that can be powerful and it can be something to really drive home. Just let's not get here because look at what can happen and how this mirrors some things that are already happening. But when you just see suffering and suffering and more suffering season after season, after a while, it's like, okay, we got the message, you know, why do we need more of this? That's kind of how I feel about it. I love the show. I think it's incredible and it's well done, but I'm also glad that they're wrapping it up after 6 seasons.
Yeah, it's a heavy, heavy content show. Lots to take.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. Right. It's a good thing. Like, they timed it out really well because Handmaid's Tale came out this week, and then last Friday, Cobra Kai was released on Netflix, and this week we got Great British Bake Off. So we got some palate cleansers to help us with House of the Dragon and Handmaid's Tale and all the heavy stuff.
Yeah. And if you are a fan of this podcast and you have not ventured out to listen to other podcast shows, the one I probably recommend the most right now is our Cobra Kai cast because Rima's on it with me and my friend Richard, who I've known since that movie first came out in the 80s. And we have so much fun podcasting about that show.
Yeah, it's great. Still great. And speaking of great podcasts, Paik, Do you have a little tease for us this week for your and Daphne's podcast Run for Your Lives?
Yeah. This week, after we've discussed it several times and had so many people recommend it, it's finally happening. We are jumping back to 1972 and doing the Irwin Allen Master Disaster produced the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh,
nice I've never seen. Maybe I should watch that.
It's a lot of fun. They're great. I mean, it's the same, you know, mind behind and producing, you know, behind Towering Inferno, and we had a blast doing that one. And cool. And so doing this, it's kind of a very similar in the same vein. I think we kind of covered it very similarly, and it was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So definitely, yeah, check that out when that drops on Friday. It'll be
sweet.
It's great.
It'll be good.
All right. That is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Bate.
And Patrick Silveria is strange indeed.